order. Give everybody a second here. I just wanted to first thank everybody. I know that this is not ideal to have a morning hearing like this, and I appreciate people making the time this morning to come and to finish our discussion of Senate File 5266 as amended. I just want to, for the record, go over a couple of things. One is that this is, again, a continuation of our discussion of the Senate Labor Finance Omnibus Bill, which is Senate File 5266 as amended. What we did at the last hearing on April 9th is we added the A2 amendment, which was a delete all amendment. We also added the A7 and the A16, which were technical amendments. We then heard testimony on the bill, and we had debate on the bill. In our debate, we adopted the A10, which had to do with some provisions in the Earn Sick and Safe Time portion of the bill, as well as the A9, which removed some language from Senate File 4298, which is part of our bill. Additionally, before we adjourned on the 9th, we added the A12, which contained language on underground telecommunication infrastructure, and the A3, which funded, is a sort of placeholder to fund the Rise Up Center, which we had heard presented to us by Senator Dibble, and we also took an A14 amendment to that in agreement, as Senator Dibble had done in a little bit earlier in that hearing, to make sure that there is some sort of provision for a report back on that. So today we're going to continue our discussion. I also wanted to just add that, for the record, I wanted to note to everybody that after our hearing on the 9th, I learned that my representing that there was a piece in the valley on the A12 amendment, that's the amendment that had to do with the underground telecommunication infrastructure, that was a mischaracterization. And I wanted to apologize for that. I did not mean to mislead anyone. And in fact, at the time I was speaking from what I understood to be true. But after the hearing, I learned that that it was not, in fact, true, and that the information that I had received was incorrect. So I apologize for that. I would never intend to mislead anyone in the committee about the status of any amendment or bill, and I want to be fully transparent about that. So as we continue, we are going to keep that amendment after some discussion that I've had with stakeholders. We're going to keep that amendment in going forward. But I look forward to the conversations as we go into conference and addressing people's concerns around that. So with that, having gaveled in, I want to note that we do have a quorum. And because we are having this hearing largely remotely with a sort of skeleton crew and a couple of members in person at the Senate, I'm going to turn over our the gavel to Senator Pappas, who will chair the rest of the committees while we hear and have debate on, or any remaining debate on, Senate File 5266 as amended. So, Senator Pappas, it's all yours, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator McEwen. And I think we're at the stage with this bill now where there were potentially a few amendments that members still wanted to offer. And if there are, anyone who is on remote that has an amendment, please identify yourself, raise your hand, or speak up.
Madam Chair, this is Senator Liske.
Yes, Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have the A24 amendment to offer.
What is it, the A1? All right, the A24 amendment will be passed out.
Thank you. Did you want me to talk about it while we're
Senator Liske, yes, you can start talking about it while it's being passed out.
Okay, so the A24 amendment, I know we had talked and we thought we'd heard from or not heard from the school board, thinking that there wasn't any issues. So the A24 amendment is strictly a more of an effective date edit. It's going to push the effective date from, I believe it's July 1st of 2024 out to 2025, or including when the end of their contract negotiations end on the next contract. The reason for this amendment is a lot of the school boards, especially mine, like I had expressed last hearing, that there were issues with contract negotiations, and they were worried about having to reopen contracts for the ESST portion of this bill. And so this would just edit those effective dates. It would allow the school boards to get through their contracts, not have to renegotiate, but then also be able to edit those once, as soon as, make it effective as soon as it's done. So I'm hoping it's a friendly amendment. I'm hoping we can kind of move forward with just an edit to the date. It's not to change the language, but just not to change any of that. It's just to change when the date would be effective.
36 after line 26. Senator Liske, this is a provision in ESST, and I actually have had multiple conversations with the school district people and local government, and I do feel that because this was a provision that was passed last year, and I think we had delayed some of it to the effective date, that there has been plenty of time for school districts to adjust. These are really basic, kind of basic rights for people to have, and I would hate to see them, people not be able to use their sick time, like for example for bereavement leave, or if they have a sick child. So there have been a lot of conversations, and I think we just have a disagreement on what the original intent of ESST is. And that is, like I said, to make sure that people can take time off to take care of a sick child or attend a funeral. And I don't understand why that would even have to be part of a collective bargaining agreement. It seems these are basic workforce rights that every worker should be entitled to. So I would oppose the amendment at this time. Is there any other comments from anyone online or anyone in the room?
Madam Chair.
Senator McEwen.
Thank you. I also just wanted to make a note that it's generally my practice with an omnibus bill to follow the lead of the author of the underlying bill that's contained in the omnibus. And to that extent, I oppose this amendment as well in support of what Senator Pappas has just said, and agree with the reasons that she stated why this amendment is not needed. We really need to move forward with these basic rights for workers. So respectfully, thank you for bringing the amendment, Senator Liske, and for the discussion, but I would respectfully ask members to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
I believe, thank you, Senator McEwen. I believe Senator Grunhagen has his hand raised. Senator Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, roll call, please.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Are there any other comments or questions from anyone online or in the
Madam Chair?
Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the reason why I've offered this, and like I said, it's because of lots of contact in the last couple days from the School Board Association. I was getting some emails from, I believe her name is Kimberly Dunn Lewis. I think that's the name. I think we actually should have all gotten that letter sent to us just after the last committee. Because of the discussion that we had last committee hearing. So I don't disagree with you, Senator Pappas or Senator McEwen. I do believe that this is stuff that I understand the purpose of the bill. We're trying to get these people sick time. I don't disagree. In fact, I think you're right. They should be able to leave and care for a loved one or leave if they're severely ill so that, you know, there's no change in those types of things. I think based on my contact with both the teacher side and the school board side of a couple of local school districts, the collective bargaining agreement is affected because you have both vacation time and sick time wrapped into those agreements. And so without these edits to the contract, they do have to renegotiate that. It's part of their agreements. And so that's why I would support this amendment, and I hope we can move forward. So thank you.
Is there any more, are there any more comments from anyone online or in the room? Then the clerk will take the roll.
Chair McEwen.
No.
Vice Chair Hochschild. Senator Dornick. Senator Grunhagen.
Yes.
Senator Kupek. Senator Liske.
Yes.
Senator Marty. No. Senator Umu-Verbaten.
No.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Wiesenberg.
Yes.
Senator Hochschild.
No.
Senator Dornick. Senator Kupek.
There being three yes and five no, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments from any members?
Madam Chair.
Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd also like to offer the A27 amendment.
We have the A27 amendment passed out.
You have it passed out already? Is okay.
No, where it's coming.
Sure.
Senator Liske moves the A27 amendment. We're waiting for it. Senator Liske, do you want to start talking about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the A27 amendment, again, is in reference to some school board association concerns. It's not, again, not a massive change to ESST. It's more of a carve-out portion or a small change to how it work. Basically, on the language, it's just going to cut out any extracurricular hours, like coaching, and that would make it so they just don't accrue the hours at that time for ESST. I believe I believe Kim Lewis is in the audience. If she would come up to the podium. Sorry, I know I saw her come up a little late, so we'll go from there. I just have a couple questions for her.
Who was it you invited to the podium, Senator Liske?
Kimberly Dunn Lewis, I believe, from the Minnesota School Board Association. I believe that's who I saw come up, but I'm not entirely sure.
Is there someone in the room that he's calling forward? Oh, there you are. Thank you. Would you please just introduce yourself for the tape?
Certainly, Madam Chair. My name is Kimberly Dunn Lewis with Minnesota School Boards Association.
Proceed.
And the backstory on this amendment is for, in our situation, we have a number of folks that are stipends, such as coaches, the debate team coach, the football coach, so they're not missing any hours of work or have compensation deducted for that reason. They just have a flat rate that they are receiving for the season or for the process that they're working through. So earned safe and sick time, they're not deducted any hours for missing work or what have you. It's just that stipend. So we would ask respectfully that those individuals would be excluded.
And tell me, what was your name again?
Kimberly Dunn Lewis.
Dunn, Ms. Dunn. I think Josiah from Dolly might be here. I believe they've provided guidance on this topic multiple times. And do you want to just come and explain to the committee? Are these coaches considered employees, or are they on contract?
They're on contract. Some are teachers that are also coaching. Some are individuals that come from outside that are coaching.
Would you introduce yourself for the tape and proceed?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Josiah Moore. I am the Legislative Director at the Department of Labor and Industry. The department has provided guidance on stipend-based employees whose compensation is not reduced for missing work. The guidance is that if the employee's compensation is not reduced for missing work, then the employer would not have to allow the use of earned sick and safe time for missing those hours, because of course their pay has not been reduced. The guidance has included that the accrual of earned sick and safe time for those hours, for the hours that a stipend-based employee works, would still apply. So they would still accrue earned sick and safe time for the hours they're working. They just wouldn't be able to use, the employer wouldn't have to allow them to use earned sick and safe time when they're a stipend-based employee whose stipend is not reduced when they miss work.
Ms. Dunn, does that satisfy that you and the School Board Association in terms of what you're looking for?
This is the first time I'm understanding this from the gentleman from Dolly, so I would like to go back to my folks and see what their interpretation of this, the people that actually work in this daily. It's certainly something that I appreciate the clarification and would like to do that and then just leave the discussion perhaps open for further discussion with you as the author. As we move forward, if that's all right with you.
Right. So if you need further clarification from Dolly, please reach out to
Certainly. Mr.
Moore. And if that's not clear, then let's have some further discussion about it. But
appreciate that.
I'm hoping that we don't have to put in all these exceptions in the law, that we can just allow Dolly to clarify for people and all these small issues that are bothering people instead of having to put everything in the law. And, of course, there'll be rulemaking as well, where the School Board Association can have input there.
Appreciate that. And we certainly don't want to waste the committee's time or the people at Dolly, but these are concerns that have been brought to us by our folks in the field, and so we felt that we needed to bring them forward.
Right.
And so appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it sounds like we're in agreement that it's something that needs to be addressed. It doesn't sound like I know we may not agree as to our approach on how we might want to address it, being that some like rulemaking and some like putting it in statute. So I know we'll probably never agree on that portion of the equation, but it sounds like you guys are willing to work on it, so I really appreciate that. Honestly, I'll just let the amendment move forward as just a voice vote, and then we'll go from there.
And Senator Grünhagen, did you want to comment as well?
No, I have an amendment after Senator Liske. So.
All right. Okay, then all in favor of the A27 amendment, say aye.
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 And all those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
No.
I think the nays have it. We have to wait a little bit of delay with the remote hearing, but I think the nays have it. The amendment is not adopted. Thank you, Senator Liske. Senator Grünhagen.
Yeah, I would, Madam Chair, thank you. I'd like to offer the A20 amendment.
Okay, let's pass out the A20 amendment. Senator Grünhagen, we have the A20 amendment. Would you like to explain it?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, what this amendment does, and it addresses the additional cost on broadband that we've implemented in the bill here, and that it has a blank appropriation to add additional money to cover the additional costs that we've implemented on the broadband grants for local units of government. So I think Senator McEwen acknowledge there isn't peace in the valley on this, so I think this amendment would provide a placeholder in the bill for further discussion until we can get to peace in the valley. And I appreciate Senator McEwen acknowledging that publicly and for her comments. That's very good of her. And the so I would urge approval of the A20 to address the controversies that still with the A12 amendment, if I understand that correctly, on the broadband grants.
Senator McEwen, if you're able to access the amendment.
I am taking a look right now, Madam Chair. Thank you. I just need a quick second. Madam Chair.
Sarah McEwen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe, do we have any of the experts who are stakeholders on this bill in the audience today? I believe perhaps Mr. Thorson is there and might be able to speak to this amendment. I'm just wondering, I am interested in seeing, of course, working on this portion of the bill as we go into conference, but I want a little bit more information about how this particular provision might affect things, and if Mr. Thorson is in the audience and could offer just some brief testimony to the committee to help enlighten us, that would be helpful.
Mr. Thorson is here, and he's coming before us. Please introduce yourself for the tape.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. John Thorson with Liuna, Minnesota, North Dakota. I guess we would contend that at least the provision that was placed in the DE amendment wouldn't necessarily raise cost to the whole program. And there isn't funding for the program in this committee. This amendment may be more appropriate in jobs and economic development where that money and funding for the program is held. But I guess that's, again, the provision that was placed in the bill regarding the safety certification wouldn't require additional resources. Unless DLI would feel differently.
Senator Grunhagen, did you catch that Mr. Thorson is saying that perhaps this, a better place for this to be funded is in jobs and economic development? Or in ag.
Oh, no, actually, Madam Chair,
ag and broadband, right.
As I read, if it's specific to the 181.912, we have had conversations with DLI about the cost for implementation of that provision. And there was testimony in the House to that end. So maybe DLI could speak to that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I'd also like Tom Hansen to come forward to the audience and speak to it as well. Thanks for the discussion.
I see. So that's what this is for. Okay. So we have two people who are coming forward, potentially DLI and Mr. Hansen.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning. Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Tom Hansen. I'm with Winthrop and Weinstein, and I represent the Minnesota Telecom Alliance.
Please proceed. Do you have some comments on this amendment?
Well, we're always in favor of money for broadband grants. That's always a good thing. You know, as long as it's within the, as long as you have the money for it.
The commissioner has joined us. Commissioner, would you like to comment?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I believe that with the amendment that was made saying that DLI would approve the programs rather than create, we do not have a fiscal cost. We do not have a cost.
That is in reference to 181.912. All right. Senator Grunhagen, the commissioner said there is no fiscal cost, and so it sounds like this isn't really necessary.
Okay, well, I mean, I think on the 812, we added prevailing wage, or it's in the bill. And, you know, when government artificially inflates the cost of its project, which it has a habit of doing, to put it mildly, rather than, you know, it's another example of the referee getting in the huddle and calling the plays. You know, that's one of the reasons government, no matter what it touches, seems to inflate the cost of what it touches rather than allowing the private market to address it. So I pretty well know how the vote's going to go then. I do appreciate Senator McEwen's, again, desire to create some peace in the value on the 812. And at this time, if they think this is more appropriate in another committee, or she will have further discussions, I will withdraw the 820 amendment.
Senator Grünhagen, I really misspoke about another committee. That this the commissioner has said that there is just no cost to implement this statute. And so that was the correct response. So the amendment's been withdrawn. Are there any other amendments?
Madam Chair, I have another amendment.
And what's the number?
A-19.
The A-19 amendment has been offered. We'll pass out the amendment.
Should I explain?
Yes, please explain the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, basically this addresses the earned and sick and safe time, and it provides additional appropriation of $366,000. My understanding is there's between $200,000 and $400,000 available on the bottom line with this bill. And then it would appropriate additional money in 26 and 27. And the reason I wanted to offer this is in the last week to 10 days, I have literally been flooded with emails from my district, public schools, and also businesses, and the, although this deals especially with public schools, I mean, superintendents, principals, you know, I was chief negotiator for certified staff in a couple other areas for 6 years when I was on the school board, you know, the last 6 years. And the they're just begging for some delay or modification to this earned safe and sick time. I also have a letter here from addressed to Senator McEwen, which I'm sure she's familiar with, along with Minority Lead Dornick, from the Minnesota School Board Association. Of course, Kimberly's in the audience, and it just lays out, and I hope everybody read that, including Senator McEwen, it just lays out the many challenges and concerns regarding the sick and safe time provision that we're putting into the bill. So what this amendment would do is to try to address the emails I've received, again, not only in my district, but outside my district from principals and superintendents and other public school officials. And even school board members have sent me numerous concerns regarding this. And we know that most of our public schools are being stressed out financially through this, I think it's 65 mandates that we put on to them in the last session. So this just takes a step to try to ease some of those concerns financially. And I would hope to see Senator McEwen support this amendment into the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Grünhagen. Just a comment that I just feel like there's excessive fear on this issue, that really the cost of sick time compared to last year is 0.75% of the cost only for workers who didn't already have sick time, like part-time workers. So I just really feel like that the concerns are really, I'm sorry that there are concerns out there, but I feel like they're exaggerated. They already allow sick time for their employees, and so someone is going to take a bereavement day instead of a sick day, when in the past they might have taken a sick day, quite frankly. And now they'll take a bereavement day. Anyway, I would oppose the amendment. Are there any other comments? Senator McEwen.
I do have a comment.
Senator McEwen, and then I'll go back to you, Senator Grünhagen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Grünhagen, for the conversation. Likewise, I do think that there's sort of misunderstandings out there about the costs of this and about the effect of earn sick and safe time. I appreciate certainly the school boards bringing their fears to us and sharing them with us so that we can and discuss them. And we'll look at how things go. But at this time, I agree with our Earn Sick and Safe Time lead author, Sandy Pappas, that this really isn't necessary. We'll continue that discussion and look forward to moving things forward and see how things go. So at this time, I respectfully ask members to vote no on the A19.
I think the other response is that there really isn't money in the target here to be able to do this at any rate. Senator Grünhagen.
Yeah, my understanding in committee, the target is flexible. So anyway, the people who have expressed their concerns are professionals, longtime professionals in most cases, in the public school system. And having been served on my local school board for 16 years and dealing with dozens of mandates, state and federal, and I won't go over them. There is a cost much higher than what the state or the fiscal note would show. You know, when's the last time a state fiscal note came in under budget? I can't remember one. We could talk about light rail. We could talk about a host of mandates on the public school. So I think their estimate is got a 99% chance of being low, significantly low, when we look at other state projections of what the cost will be. It always seems when government gets involved with mandates on a host of issues, including the public education, the costs are much higher than what they think they will be. So members, I would ask for a roll call, and I would ask for a yes vote.
Is there any more discussion from members of the committee in the room or online? Then the clerk will take the roll.
Chair McEwen.
No.
Vice Chair Hochschild.
No.
Senator Dornick. Senator Grünhagen.
Yes.
Senator Kupak. Senator Liske.
Yes.
Senator Marty.
No.
Senator Umuverbaten.
No.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Wiesenberg.
Yes.
Senator Dornick. Senator Kupak.
There being three in favor and five opposed, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Is there any more discussion from members of the committee online or in the room? Any final comments? Senator McEwen, on your bill. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, wait a minute.
I do have, Senator Grünhagen,
Senator
I have
Liske.
A comment, yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I just wanted to make a couple final comments. First of all, thank you, Senator McEwen, for bringing this bill. I know it's a lot of work to make these omnibus bills. I know we have some differences of opinion here and there, and that happens. I'm very appreciative for some of the amendments that you've brought to change some of the bills as they were kind of very controversial, and it sounds like you're very willing to work on the ones that are still in there and still maybe have some controversy. So. I'm very appreciative of that. I know that a lot of these workers and individuals are looking forward to a lot of these things. So with that, I just wanted to say thank you and appreciate all the testifiers for coming forward, and especially today with a lot of us not being there. I know it's kind of weird to probably come and testify in front of a mostly empty room, but at least I just wanted to say I appreciate everybody for what we've gotten going forward, and I appreciate the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Liske, for those nice comments. Senator Grünhagen.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would have similar comments to Senator McEwen. She's always allowed for a robust discussion, whether she agrees or not. And I know her heart's in the right place. She wants to do what's right. And I think that of all the committee members, actually, regardless of where we fall. But I do have some concerns about this bill, which has been expressed in the amendments. And also, generally, members, I just want you to think this through. You know, I was chief negotiator on the Minnesota School Board Association, or on the local public school, for 6 years. And we didn't always agree. We never had a strike. But in the end, we always came together and settled things in a reasonable way. And then we looked at conference averages, and we moved forward. And for what we thought was the best for the staff and also for the students. So when I look at this bill, again, it's state coming down and deciding for everybody what's right for their district. You know, I've had some input from private business owners that with this new mandate, they're going to have to give up other benefits that their employees currently have or that they were planning to give to their employees. So there's a trade-off. You know, you think, well, we're helping them here. Well, you might be taking something away over there. And I have to say, I can see the same thing happening at the local school board. This should be negotiated between an employer and employee, whether public school or private. And again, we're the government. We're getting into the huddle, and I've given this example numerous times, and we're calling the plays. And when we do that, we have more negative reactions in the long. I know you want to help people with government, but look at the proper role of state government versus local control. And that's the problem with the philosophy that we're promoting here. We're getting into the huddle and calling the plays. And none of us would go to a football game where the referee went into the one side and called the plays, and if it didn't work, he threw a flag and took them 15 yards down the field. And yet that's what we're doing. And I discussed the penalties if they don't do the sick and paid leave time last meeting. And then there's also a provision, and I don't have the bill right in front of me, but there's also a bill or a provision, if I understand correctly, of getting the Attorney General involved in here. And evidently his involvement, if I remember from last meeting, is to implement the penalties against business owners that don't comply. So, Senator McEwen, I appreciate your work. I know it's not easy, but I do strongly recommend that you work with not only the Minnesota School Board Association and school districts on this and make any modifications to bring peace in the valley, and with the private sector businesses, because we're just going way overboard on one size fits all. And in the long run, I think you're going to take benefits away from employees, whether it's schools or private business, because of the direction that we want to go here. And so with that, at this time, I cannot support this bill. But again, I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate the robust discussion you've allowed. And we'll see what comes through in the final, when it comes to the Senate floor. Is there any other committee stops that this has to make after today?
Senator Grunhagen, this will be going to the Finance Committee.
Okay.
And Senator Grunhagen, thank you for your many years of service locally on your school board and as the chief negotiator. We know you have a great deal of experience in that area. Senator Hochschild.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you to Senator McEwen Chair McEwen for her work on this bill. I know it was a lot of work, and I appreciate her listening to everybody and just creating a dialogue and a committee that has good discussion. You know, I think I really like the uniqueness of this committee. I think it has produced some of the most dialogue and just back and forth between the different sides. You know, you see a lot of Senator Dornick's thoughtful logic and a lot of Senator McEwen's passion for workers and labor rights. And I think that's a really good combination in this committee. I'm also grateful for Senator Dornick always, you know, looking into things and coming to people like me and others with his thoughts on how to improve some of the bills. You know, I think we did that a little bit with our exemptions for agriculture workers, as well as the EV hookup issue for some of our more greater Minnesota areas. And the last thing I just want to leave us with is, you know, we have a lot of discussions in this committee about mandates. And while I think it's important for us to consider that, every time we talk about mandates, often in the labor committee, what we're really talking about is people. We're talking about workers. These mandates that we're just got done talking about are the ability of a teacher to take leave to care for a new baby or for a parent who might be sick. And it means equal rights, equal basic rights, really, worker rights for all workers. So I just want us to keep that in mind. Mandates means benefits for workers, and finding that balance is important, but it's important to understand the other side as well. So I'm just really grateful for all the discussion in this committee. It's very thoughtful, it's passionate, and I think we come to some good compromises, and I'm just grateful for everybody's work. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Senator Hochschild. Senator McEwen, final comments and your final amendment? I'm sorry, your final motion.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I appreciate everyone's comments so much. Thank you, Vice Chair Hochschild, beautifully said. I couldn't have said it any better. And thank you also, Senator Grünhagen and Senator Liske, for your kind comments and your thoughtful amendments and the way that you've approached the work of the committee. I just appreciate it very much. I don't have any further comments specifically on this bill, except to just let everybody know that as we go into conference, if you do have, I have the amendments that have been offered, and I certainly will keep those as part of our discussion as we move into conference. If anybody has anything else they'd like to discuss with us in regard to this bill as we go forward, please set up a time. We'll have you can contact Jack Fisher there in the committee to set up a meeting. We'll talk about it. And of course, I can never promise that everything will end up exactly where everybody wants it to be, but we certainly want to make sure everybody is heard and then do our best to make compromise when we can. So I just wanted to thank Madam Chair real quick, because I haven't been able to do this yet in our committee, and I believe this will be our last chance to, our last real committee for a little bit here. We may have some informational hearings going forward, but the work of our committee for this session is largely completed. So I wanted to just real quick thank our staff for our committee. We have a couple of pages. Killen Johnson and Will Olson, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your first names, but our committee pages have been wonderful, running all over, making sure everybody gets what they need, working really hard to make sure that the committee can run effectively. So thank you so much to our two committee pages. We appreciate you very much. I want to thank also our Senate counsel, Carlin Doyle Fontaine, always there for us to be able to give us clarity on the rules and make sure that we're doing what we need to do and people understand amendments and procedure so beautifully. And thank you. And our Senate fiscal analyst, Eric Olofsson, thank you for all of the work that you've brought to our committee and all making sure that our finances are in order and advising us so well on our finances for the committee. Our research staff, our partisan research staff, David Frazier for the Republican caucus and Danny Gillis for the DFL caucus, always giving us great advice about our amendments and our own approaches to the policy that we're considering. Our committee legislative assistant, Jack Fisher, always there for everyone, making sure that the committee is moving smoothly and that everybody has what they need. And, of course, our committee administrator, Fabian Bean, who really is the brains of this operation and makes sure everybody knows what they need to know and really is the point person for all things in the Senate Labor Committee and making things happen, making these bills happen. Our members, of course, thank you, Senator Grünhagen, Senator Kupek, Senator Liske, Senator Marty, Senator Umar Verbaten, Senator Pappas, and Senator Wiesenberg. Thank you very much. Thank you to our Vice Chair, Senator Housechild, who always has really staged things to offer to the committee. I appreciate that very much. And then I also want to put a special thanks out. I know that he's not here, but our ranking minority member, Senator Dornick, yes, very thoughtful in his approach to the work that he does in this committee and really trying to keep connections with a lot of our members and also the advocates and the testifiers who come before our committee. And I'll note that he is part of the reason we were able to continue with our hearing this morning. I know that he had a conflict and we were trying to see if there was a different time we could have this hearing that would work for more people, but this ended up being the best time. And he very graciously gave me the green light to go ahead and have the committee this morning. So, and that's just sort of the way he rolls. He's just very accommodating and reasonable and always willing to talk things through. So I appreciate him very much, and we're missing him today on this our last day. So with all of those thank yous said, Madam Chair, this is I'm really proud of this finance omnibus and what it represents, and I respectfully ask for your support for our omnibus as amended. Thank you.
Senator McEwen, then your motion is? Senator McEwen moves. Do you want to make the motion yourself?
Sure. Madam Chair, thank you. I move, Madam Chair.
Senate Bill 5266 has amended. You just muted yourself.
Computers. Ugh. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I move that Senate File 5266, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Senate Finance Committee.
Thank you. You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay?
Nay.
The motion prevails. Senate 5266, as amended, will be re-referred to the Finance Committee. If there are no more comments before the committee, I really appreciate actually everyone's kind words. I feel a little teary-eyed that everyone's so nice to each other. It's kind of unusual in these days, which is Minnesota, where everyone's nice, right? We're all nice. Thank you. Then the Labor Committee is adjourned.